ಮಾಡಿ ಗೋಪಿಯ ನಾಮ ಲಾಭ ಎರಿ ವರ ಧಾರಿ ಸೌರ ನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಸೌರ ನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಮನ ತೀರ ಬನಚಾರಿ ಮುನ ತೀರಾ ಬನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವರಿಂದ ಕೀ ಗ್ರಂಥ ರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಕೋರ್ಪಿ ಮನಂದಿ ಲುಕ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ವೀ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ರಿಕವರಿ ಮೋಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಯೆಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇ. First written on the board looks like being done. Sure, you have a little device you can look. Canto 10, chapter 3, text 27. And the board is just now coming. Martyo mrityo valyalabhita palayan Do it again. Martyo mrityo valyalabhita palayan Lokan sarvan nir bhayam Nadya gachchat Tvatpadabjam prapya yadrishchayadya Susta shete mrityur asmad upaita Upaiti Martyo mrityur vyalabhita palayan Lokan sarvan nir bhayam nabhya gachchat Tvat padabjam prapya yadrishchayadya Susta sete mrityur asmad upaiti mrityur vyalabhita palayan Lokan sarvan nir chat Tvat padabjam prapya yadrishchayadya Susta shete mrityur asmad apaiti Martyo Ritu Vyala Bitak Palayan. Lokan Sarvan Nirbhayam Nadya Gachchat. Tvat Patabjam Prapya Vyadrichchayadya. Suktak Shete Mrityur Asmat Apayiti. Martyo Mrityu Vyala Bitak Palayan. Lokan Sarvan Nirbhayam Nadya Gachchat. Tvat Padabjam Prapya Yadrichchayadya. Susta Shete Mrityur Asmad Upayiti. Donna Kelly. Martyo Mrityu Vyala Bitak Palayan. Lokan Sarvan Nirbhayam Nadya Gachchat. Lokan. Siusta Shete Mrityur Asmad Upayiti. Martyaha. The living entities who are sure to die. Mrityu Vyala Bhitaha. Afraid of the serpent of death. Palayan. Running. As soon as the serpent is seen, everyone runs away fearing immediate death. Lokan. To the different planets. Sarvan, all, Nirbhayam, fearlessness, na adya gachchat, does not obtain, tvat pada abjam, of your lotus feet, prapya, obtaining the shelter. Yadrichchaya, by chance, by the mercy of your lordship and your representative, the spiritual master. Adya, presently. So staha, being undisturbed and mentally composed. Shete, are sleeping. Mrityuhu, death. Asmat, from those persons. Apaiti, flees. Translation. No one in this material will thus become free from the four principles of birth, death, old age, and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my lord, death is fleeing in fear of you. And the living entities have obtained shelter at your lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are different categories of living entities, but everyone is afraid of death. The highest aim of the karmis is to be promoted to the higher heavenly planets, where the duration of life is very long, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 8:17. Sahasra yuga paryantam arharyad brahmano viduhu. One day of Brahma equals 1,000 yugas, and each yuga consists of 4,300,000 years. Similarly, Brahma has a night of 1,000 times 4,300,000 years. In this way, we may calculate Brahma's month and year. But even Brahma, who lives for millions and millions of years, Dvi Parardha Kala, mentioned previous verse, also must die. According to Vedic Shastra, the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems live for 10,000 years. And just as Brahma's day is calculated to be equal to 4,300,000,000 of our years, one day in the higher planetary systems equals 6 of our months. Karmis therefore try for promotion to the higher planetary systems, but this cannot free them from death. In the material world, everyone from Brahma to the insignificant ant must die. Therefore, this world is called Martya Loka, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Ah Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Arvartanorjuna. As long as one is within this material world, either on Brahma Loka or on any other loka within this universe, one must undergo the Kala Chakra of one life after another, Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. If one returns to the Supreme Person, Yad Gatva Nandivartante, one need not re-enter the limits of time. Therefore, devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord can sleep very peacefully with this assurance from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4:9. Chakadeham Purnarjanma Naiti. After giving up the present body, a devotee who has understood Krishna as he is need not return to this material world. And second paragraph, the constitutional position of living entity is eternity. Nahanyate hanyamani sharire nityakshashvato yam. Every living entity is eternal. But because of having fallen into this material world, one wanders within the universe, continually changing from one body to another. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. Everyone is wandering up and down within this universe, but one who is sufficiently fortunate comes in contact with Krishna consciousness by the mercy of the spiritual master and takes to the path of devotional service. Then one is assured of eternal life with no fear of death. When Krishna appears, everyone is freed from fear of death, yet Devaki felt, we are still afraid of Kamsa, although you have appeared as our son. She was more or less bewildered as to why this should be so, and she appealed to the Lord to free her and Vasudeva from this fear. Final paragraph. Prabhupada takes a shot at the scientists. In this connection, it may be noted that the moon is one of the heavenly planets. From the Vedic literature, we understand that one who goes to the moon receives a life with a duration of 10,000 years, in which to enjoy the fruits of pious activities. If our so-called scientists are going to the moon, then why should they come back here? We must conclude without a doubt that they have never gone to the moon. To go to the moon, one must have the qualification of pious activities. Then one may go there and live. If one has gone to the moon, why should he return to this planet, where life is of a very short duration? Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we had an abbreviated Bhagavatam class yesterday. So back up a little bit and continue with this morning's verse. This is the fourth of Devaki's prayers, and she is seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead before her. Her husband has spoken first, Vasudev, and she's continuing on the theme of the transcendental position of Krishna. And one of the features of Krishna is he does things. He's not a stone or impersonal. He's personal. And as a person, he does things. He does things in the spiritual realm. And remotely, he is directing things in this realm. We heard about he does that through time. First, she described the process of cosmic annihilation, where everything collapses back into its pradhan state, which is under his full control, and thus he alone exists. Because although there is a distinction between the potency and the possessor of the potency, in another sense, there's a non-difference between the potency and the possessor of the potency, like sun and the sunshine. So the movements, the movements of activity, karma, and janma, and everything else that's in this world, is moved by time. And then, so yesterday's verse was that time arises from him. It is his shakti, it says kriya shakti, his potency by which he's in Goloka, but his time energy is moving things. And things don't move without time. They cannot move without time in this material world. And time in the spiritual realm is eternal time. And he does things in the spiritual realm through the agency of eternal time also. Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes. From our tiny brain perspective, activities that are eternal doesn't compute. But there are activities that are eternal. And things move by the agency of eternal time and his internal potency and so forth. It's a mystery. She's taking full shelter of him. Now connecting with this verse. With the appeal to become fearless. So Prabhupada touches on it in the purport. She's very clear about the position of Krishna, and she's clear that the position of one who does not take shelter of Krishna exists or lives in fear. Because death is certain. Now some people are so dull or foolish or in the mode of ignorance that the fear doesn't register. But nonetheless, when the time of death comes, fear is there. Because everything will be lost. Everything that's in the category of mine, family, home, etc., etc. The little God project in Rabindra Sarup's language
is taken away. Whether it's taken away gradually by time, or taken away in pieces by time, or taken abruptly by time, time takes away all things. And that's fearful, because one is attached to the temporary and trying to be the enjoyer of the temporary. So it's fearful. Acknowledged less or more. Fearful position. So in the purport, Prabhupada is going over this, the details of time from the Dviparada mentioned previously. And the previous mention is from Nimesha, and so many Nimeshas put together makes different measures of time up to the life of Brahma, and then that's when everything is withdrawn. It's just a series of Nimeshas. So what's left? I wanted to speak something yesterday, I'll do it today. Voidism, or Nirvisheshvad, the doctrine of nothingness, is a doctrine that says on the other side of nimeshas, or fractions of a moment, what exists, when material existence finishes, that's what nirvana means, cessation of material existence. And material existence is moved by time, and you know, it's a series of nimeshas. So when you get on the other side of time, what's left? If you're a voidist, it's nothing. And if you're a devotee like Devahuti, then it's the timeless activity of the living entity. And that's what the Bhagavatam is teaching. That's what she's teaching here. She's not using the same terminology as in Second Canto, but svarupena vyavastati, svarupa, one's own form, vyavastati, when one engages in activity within eternal time according to one's eternal relationship with Krishna. There's eternal activity in relation to Krishna, who is eternal. So the soul is eternal. The spiritual form of the living entity is eternal. Dormant, presently, but it's there. And Krishna is there, and Krishna's spiritual form is there. So on the other side of nimeshas is eternity, with spiritual form, spiritual activity, loving devotional service. Very, very different picture. Very, very different picture. And the Bhagavatam wants to give us that picture. So, she is describing the position of fearlessness, where the language is, those that are in this world, death approaches, one is fearful. But when you appear, death runs the other way. Or fear of death runs the other way. Because it's not, she's not saying you become a devotee and you don't get old and die. Bodies are born and bodies die, and they go through the cycle. It's not that, I'll say it again, it's not that she's saying you become a devotee, you appear in the prison house and we're going to live forever. You come as our son, or you appear in the world and everyone that is in the world, they're going to have those bodies forever. No. But fear of death goes away. And that fear of death is explained in the purport. The fearlessness is clearly identifying with the eternal soul. The body is temporary in these different divisions of 10,000 years and so forth, without all the math that's in the purport. The heavenly planets, Brahmaloka, but whether it's the topmost down to the lowest, all are places where birth and death take place. Birth and death, followed by another birth and death, followed by another. So it's that cyclical Kala Chakra from the previous verse, Kala Chakra, the force of time. Chakra, like the Lord's Sudarshan Chakra, the wheel of time, just keeps turning and turning and turning, and living entities are moving in that wheel of time. That's the samsara, that's the birth and death, and then in between is material activity. It's moving by time. And we're just going along for the ride, thinking all kinds of foolishness. The Bhagavatam wants to take us off that wheel of time into timelessness, from fear to fearlessness. So embedded within the purport is, once again, as we've been discussing every morning, the irrationality of Devaki's fear of Kamsa. She understands Krishna's position. She very clearly is articulating it again and again, what Krishna's position is. But yet, inexplicably, she's fearful. Kamsa, when he comes to know that the eighth child of Devaki has been born, he's going to come and try to kill you. So the purport says it very nicely. She's puzzled by that fear because she knows Krishna's position, yet she's feeling that feeling. So she, in her prayers, in one sense, is requesting Krishna to remove the fear. And the way that she's saying it is, when you appear in this world, those who take shelter of your two lotus feet, that's the second half of this morning's verse. Tvat padabjam prapya yadrichcha yadya. Tvat pada abjam, your lotus feet, abja, the Sanskrit word, one of its primary meanings is lotus. So lotus feet, there's different terms that mean lotus feet, but pada abja, and Tvat is of your, your lotus feet, of your lotus feet. Those who have taken shelter of your lotus feet, prapya. How? Here comes this mysterious word, yadrichchaya. There's different translations of yadrichchaya. And Prabhupada here is translated as by chance. Now, he didn't like the word by chance. And therefore, by chance, comma, by the mercy of your lordship and your representative. So, yadrichchaya is causeless mercy. So what's the cause of the causeless mercy? Well, it's rhetorical, because causeless mercy doesn't have a cause. Krishna's mercy doesn't have a cause. He's just merciful. And those that are connected to Krishna, they're merciful on Krishna's behalf, because that's what representatives of Krishna do. They just do what is Krishna's intention. And his intention is by nature. So the example that's given is, there's money. One is the sun, another is rain. So the sun shines everywhere. If there's an object blocking the sun, then it doesn't shine. But the sun shines equally everywhere. Or the rain falls equally everywhere. It falls on the land, it falls on rock, it falls back in the ocean, it falls indiscriminately everywhere. So similarly, this yadrichchaya, it's the nature of Krishna and the nature of Krishna's representative devotee. They're just merciful. by nature. Someone may catch some of that mercy. And if someone catches some of that mercy, just have their receiver on and catch some of the mercy, then devotional service awakens. And when devotional service awakens, that means taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So when that happens, tvat padabjam prapya yadrichchayadya su-sthar, sthar means being situated, su-sthar, when becomes mentally composed, peaceful, and that is to say, one starts preliminarily in the beginning is the spiritual conception of life and not the body. It's where Bhagavad Gita begins. And it's necessary to have that spiritual conception to factually progress in spiritual life and Krishna consciousness and bhakti. Spiritual conception of life. I'm the eternal soul. And then this fear of death and other forms of fear, fear of not getting what we want or fear of fear. I gave a whole Sunday feast class recently just on the topic of fear and fearlessness because of late, well, from that time, the previous week I'd gotten three communications, two in person, one letter, where the person very honestly was expressing they just live in fear without all the details of the anecdotal thing. I'll just share one. One was from a PhD student at Texas A&M, and after the class, there was some conversation, and he said, "I'd like to know how to get on the other side of selfishness and fear." He said, "Could you explain?" He said, "Sure." Classic. My whole life, I've been encouraged, I've been told, "You're very intelligent. You can do it, achieve academically, do well, be at the top of your class, and go, 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 and you'll achieve success in your life." So I bought into it, and I really have worked hard, and then he went through the different stages, and here I am. I'm a PhD student. And the last half a year, I'm realizing two things. It's all about me. It's lonely. It's not happy. And there's also, because it's all about me, there's fear. Because whatever it is that I've achieved, I will one day lose it all. And then someday, the striving isn't going to be successful, and then I'll feel crestfallen because I was unable to achieve. It's all about me. So I'm this feeling of fear is consuming me, and I know it's all about selfishness. So I want to know how to get beyond selfishness and fear. Nice introduction for Krishna consciousness, right? I mean, it takes a long time to get some people to that place. You know the expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But some people, they don't know where the water is, but they want to drink. That's a good candidate for said. We have a here. There's a Bhagavad Gita discussion group in addition to the the program that's on the campus. Here's a copy of Bhagavad Gita. Begin reading it. Attend the Bhagavad Gita discussion group, and you'll find answers to your question. Because that's what Bhagavad Gita does. It's self-realization. That is who you really are beyond this material conception of kartaham iti manyate. You know, but you've been hammered effectively for some time, so it's not going to happen with a snap of your fingers. But the answer is there. So real fearlessness requires yadrichchaya, somehow or another. That's another way it's translated, somehow or another. Like Prabhupada would say in reverse, we somehow or another we came into this material world. And then here's, you know, somehow or another we can get out of the material world or get the means. And it's in this case, it's the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And then he quotes Lord Chaitanya saying the same thing. Guru Krishna prasadi by bhakti lata bija. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, hearing and discussing its message in the association of devotees helps revive, has the potency to revive our original Krishna consciousness and carry us to that place of fearlessness. And finally, and even if there is some circumstance like Devaki is experiencing, rightly so, you know, Kamsa's not just a bully, he's not just a terrorist. He's a terribly powerful and unscrupulous person, and he's avowedly wanting to kill all of Devaki's children. She appealed to him, but even when the eighth child thing happens, she appeals to him. He's not stopped by anything. So she has fear. And she wants, so even if there's some trepidation, cause for some trepidation, and that is to say our transcendental fearlessness is threatened, or Krishna consciousness is somehow challenged, we can go to Krishna with that emotion. With any emotion, not only that one, and bring the emotion to Krishna and help connect with Krishna through that strong emotion, whatever it is, to become purified. She's not impure. Hers is a transcendental emotion. We've been discussing that. But that's what devotees do. They take everything to Krishna. He's our shelter. Okay, so any discussion?
My question is on the causeless aspect of the mercy. Causeless.
To do what?
Causeless mercy.
Is just that word causeless?
So how do the advanced devotees feel because they're receiving that mercy, but they understand it's not, if it's causeless, it's not something that they did, or in other words, how do they
process it?
Yeah, they're receiving the mercy, yet they're humble. They're not thinking it's something that I've done to receive that mercy.
They process it through love.
Because one devotee might get be seeming to be receiving more mercy than another.
But the sun shines everywhere. So it may contact different objects differently. It's right in Kunti's prayers. It's a really nice verse. So the experience internally and even the external experience may be diverse, but it's perfectly appropriate for the living entity. Krishna's mercy goes equally everywhere. Now, my read on the situation may be, hey, they're getting more mercy than me. Or the other way around. Hey, I don't know what happened, but I'm getting more mercy than... Krishna's mercy is equally distributed. And according to the object or, the recipient of that mercy, it'll manifest in a different way. So from our side, the main thing is eagerness. Krishna's ready. More than ready.
My question's about the fear of death.
Fear of death.
Yeah. Just thinking about the concept of death without Krishna consciousness and how extreme and heavy it is when you don't have understanding of anything beyond death. It's such a overwhelming experience. So I'm wondering if you can speak about this, how the people's conception of death and...
Can I speak about which?
People's conception of death and how, why it's so overwhelming and because of their misconception.
Well, the biggest assist is ignorance. The mode of ignorance helps one cope. Even there's fear, so then mode of ignorance, one takes shelter of something that's, illusion or darkness. Or some time ago, visiting place, and a Spanish devotee said that he was with this very elder Catholic man, Spanish man, who was dying and was saying, I have no fear because I know I'm going to God. So the devotee that heard him speak like this, his question was, is he going to God? Just because he has that confidence, he's thinking of God, constantly thinking of God, is he going to go to God? Yam yam bhapi smaran bhavam. So, we're responsible for our activities. So the because Christ saves one from one's sins is the shelter that he's feeling safe in. Prabhupada's teaching is the offense of continuing to sin in the name that someone else is going to take the responsibility for my sin is in itself an offense. The idea of accepting one's sins isn't so go on sinning. Or as Prabhupada would say, you're not Christian. Because you say I'm Christian, you have faith in Christ, and you're going to go to God because you have faith in Christ. You've accepted Christ. But if you're going on sinning, then you're not really a Christian. So faith can be influenced by ignorance, can be influenced by different modes. I don't know if I'm addressing your question, you know, but different people have a way of handling death and the fear of death. And largely that is influenced by the modes of nature, unless one is a transcendentalist. You know, that goes even for devotees. You know, us. We can, you know, say whatever we want to say when the time of death comes. What's our shelter? So best is to practice now. Yeah.
It seems like the fearlessness also would come because of following strictly the principles. If you're not following anything, it seems like that would be a very fearful situation.
Yeah,
you don't really.
But ignorance can cover that. Yes? One becomes so dull, like, you know, a drunk man, or whatever manifestation of ignorance there may be. One can stagger out in the middle of the highway and no fear. So, modes of nature are acting. Yeah, Sunila Madhava.
Hare Krishna, thank you. My question is that the living entity, he doesn't know what is happening tomorrow. Tomorrow is unknown to him.
Yes.
And then also, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that this world is dukkhalam or shashvatam.
Yes.
Temporary and miserable. So in this situation, how he become fearless?
Well, it's in the purport. I can get the exact sentence out, but in short, it's having a spiritual conception. We don't know what's going to happen, and whatever is going to happen, it's a place of dukkha, different varieties. So, but that has to do with desire. Dukkha has to do with desire to be the enjoyer of the temporary. If that fearlessness is where ignorance is removed. Here's the way Vishwanath says it like this. The root cause of the dukkha or suffering is ignorance. And from ignorance comes ignorant desire. From ignorant desire comes ignorant activity. From ignorant activity comes suffering. So the dukkha or the fear is eliminated by eliminating ignorance. But theoretical knowledge or speculative knowledge is insufficient. But bhakti in itself gives rise to knowledge and detachment. That kind of removal of ignorance, that's the position of fearlessness. Also, it doesn't change the picture, the place of dukkha, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But the devotee takes shelter of transcendence, or the eternal soul, and the eternal relation with Krishna, whatever it may be, whatever the configuration of duality is today or tomorrow. The fearlessness is in the realm of the eternal, not in the realm of, here's the way. One need not re-enter the limits of time, because time moves things, and the fear is, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, or what I have today may be taken tomorrow. the desire to get what I want may not happen tomorrow. What I have today, someone may come and steal it, or time, somehow or other time may. But the influence of time is eliminated by the consciousness of Krishna. We know. While we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, we know that it's temporary. That tomorrow is that within the purview of time. So, but our happiness is not there. Happiness is not the happiness of ignorance or ignoring Krishna. And to free ourselves from ignorance of Krishna, that's devotion to Krishna. Knowledge of Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna. And operating from the platform of the soul, although we're engaging the body and the mind, the gross and subtle bodies, for the pleasure of Krishna. So there's the sadhana stage for all of that, and then the progressively. Fear progressively is gone. And fearlessness takes its place. That's our natural position. And that fearlessness doesn't mean here's Devaki or there's Kunti. Krishna's about to leave. And she's feeling anxiety. She has a transitory feeling that enhances and strengthens the absorption in shelter in Krishna. So it looks like something material, but it's not. That kind of fearlessness. Transcendental fearlessness. The residents of Vrindavan. Anyway. The serpent is swallowing Nanda Maharaj. Kaliya has Krishna wrapped in his coils. Here comes Aristasura and so forth. Pastimes are there. And the devotees take shelter. It's to enhance their shelter taking. That's a transcendental emotion. It's not material fear. Very unique.
Maharaj, it is sometimes we see when fearlessness comes, sometimes proudness also comes. Suppose I am disciple of some Maharaj, I can become very proud, I can behave anything like. So how can you, how to counteract that things? Suppose I am an annihilated devotee of Krishna. I can do anything because I have fearlessness.
We have a relay system. Go ahead. And just say to me.
Carelessness. That yeah. I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
So one can become perhaps proud or negligent, careless.
Yeah.
So how to prevent that, how to understand that?
You act for the pleasure of Krishna. That's bhakti. And one who's not acting for the pleasure of Krishna will feel some ouch. So like, Krishna will protect me so I don't walk across the expressway. Haribol, Krishna's going to protect me. I don't act foolishly or carelessly, or Krishna is not my servant, I'm Krishna's servant. So the protection is the mode of devotion, that Krishna should be pleased. Then there's real protection, and Krishna will guide appropriately. We won't take undue risk, careless risk. Last question, we're going to end.
I you know, when we are out meeting the public, sometimes this topic of fear of death comes up, and somebody will say, well, aren't you afraid of death? And sometimes I think maybe we're a little bit
cavalier.
Yeah, and kind of like, oh, I hate to pick on the Christians, but they kind of think that we're going to live our life, and then when death comes, a miracle happens, and you just make a quantum leap from this mundane existence to a transcendental existence. So I was thinking how I read somewhere where Prabhupada said, death is like sleep, or sleep is like death, whichever. So it seems to me that we can't be fearless towards death when at night we can see what our consciousness is. Like, forget about being fearful of death. I'm just fearful of going to sleep at night because I know for so many hours it's going to be mundane consciousness. So I'm happy when the alarm goes off. But it just seems like we can test our advancement in fearlessness by where's our consciousness at sleep time. You know, if I can't be Krishna conscious while I'm sleeping, I question this faith that, oh yeah, when death comes, you know, I'm back to Godhead, I'm out of here. It just seems that death is like sleep, sleep is like death. So maybe we should be fearful of... Prabhupada said, problem with you American boys and girls, you're not enough afraid of Maya. So, I mean, I just think we should be a little more honest about where we're at.
Hear, hear. We're we have our goal, we have our philosophy, and we have our current situation, and it's good to be realistic about all of it. What's the goal? How clear? And even as we make progress, then the definition, how we would describe the goal, is going to be refined. What to speak of our understanding of the philosophy, what to speak of clarity about where we are at. But I agree with you completely. It's ill-advised, just, I use the word cavalier, just like lightly say something. Or, you know, we're not careful enough to introspect and see really where we are on this trajectory of reaching the goal. I could add to that, but I agree with you completely. Okay, we'll end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Humbly ask if devotees can help with vegetable cut up downstairs. Thank you.